New York City. New York City. Puls. New York. Die New York City Radio Show. In New York City wird ja fast eh immer irgendwo irgendwas gedreht. Filme, Serien und jetzt gerade The Get Down. Die erste Staffel ist schon auf Netflix, die zweite folgt bald. Vor der Linse stehen Rapper mit wuchtigem Afro-Haarschnitt und Oldschool-Sneaker und ganze U-Bahn-Wägen werden in Graffiti eingetüncht. Die Get Down Show ist seit ihrem Start in aller Munde und ich möchte heute herausfinden, was hinter dem großen Hype steckt. The Get Down spielt in den 70ern in der Bronx. New York City war damals broke und die Bronx wurde zum Symbol für urbanen Verfall. Vernachlässigt von den Stadtpolitikern, kontrolliert von den Drogenbanden. Und genau in diesem Chaos konzentrierte sich eine Bewegung aus Teenagern auf Kunst und Musik. Mit Graffiti, Breakdance, DJing und MCing formte sich eine neue Jugendkultur, die wir alle als Hip-Hop kennen. The Get Down ist ein Musical-Drama mit einer Liebesgeschichte zwischen einem verwaisten Rapper und einer R&B-Sängerin. Historische Details spielen eine wichtige Rolle und so ist die Show auch eine Lehrstunde über die Entstehung von Hip-Hop in der Bronx. Let me catch Salin's pass. Salin's fantastic, nothing but class. With you and your wax style, I should wipe my ass. Aber ist das alles auch authentisch? Wie kommt The Get Down in New York an? Dafür habe ich Legenden aus der Bronx getroffen und für euch einzigartige Geschichten über die ersten Schritte von Hip-Hop mitgebracht. Let's Get Down. Willkommen am Mikrofon, sagt Matthias Röckel, der Bayer aus Brooklyn. Großes Kino auf Netflix, über 6 Milliarden Dollar wird der Streamingdienst in künftige Filme und Serien investieren. Wie hochklassig das aussehen wird, zeigt gerade die neue Serie The Get Down. Der australische Regisseur Baz Luhrmann trägt darin dicke auf, ähnlich wie bereits in der Vergangenheit, wie in Moulin Rouge oder Romeo and Juliet oder beim großen Gatsby. The Get Down ist eine TV-Serie mit Hollywood-Look, eigenem Soundtrack, halb Musical, halb romantische Liebesgeschichte und vor allem große historische Popgeschichte. The Get Down spielt in der Bronx zwischen 1977 und 79, als die Straßenecken wie im Kriegsgebiet aussahen und Häuser brannten. Aus diesen Ruinen ist Hip-Hop auferstanden.
It was just part of my culture, my neighborhood growing up. It wasn't called hip hop then. It was just the jam. It was kids from the neighborhood getting together. And I just happened to be fortunate enough to be one of those kids walking around with a camera.
Das ist Fotograf Joe Conso, geboren und aufgewachsen in der South Bronx. Seine Bilder aus den späten 70ern tauchen heute in Dokus und Büchern auf. Es sind Momentaufnahmen, die den Ursprung von Hip-Hop festhalten. Seine Fotos waren eine wichtige Vorlage für Get Down-Regisseur Baz Luhrmann.
Here's the thing, you can't sweat a freak, man.
I'm not planning on getting down with nobody, all right?
You have to show up looking fly.
Yeah.
With the suave Ebola.
Suave, okay.
Das ist eine Szene aus der ersten Episode, die im gleichen Park spielt, in dem Joe Conso viele seiner Fotos damals knipste. Hauptfigur Ezekiel steht auf einem großen Felsen und hört mit seinem Kumpel heimlich den Mädels zu.
Both y'all need to calm down.
Diese Szene wurde im St. Mary Park in der Bronx gedreht. Regisseur Baz Luhrmann hat diese Location durch Joes Fotos entdeckt.
I photographed a lot at St. Mary's as a kid because that was my neighborhood and Baz had the foresight to bring the filming there. You know, the big rock that, you know, you see Shaolin slide down and do graffiti. It's the same rock that I slid down as a kid, and every Bronx kid that grew up slid down. To hear Baz say, "Joe, I love your pictures in St. Mary's, and you know we're filming there to capture what you were capturing as a kid 30 years ago."
Joe Conso hat in seinen Porträts den Style der Hip-Hop-Pioniere eingefangen: Baseball-Teamjacken, Ledergürtel und Handschuhe, Kangol-Hüte und Barré-Mützen und natürlich Oldschool-Puma- und Adidas-Turnschuhe. Eben all das, was seine Klassenkameraden damals anhat.
I went to school with DJ Tony Tone and Easy AD from the Cold Crush Brothers. Tony being a DJ, AD being an MC. So I followed them. And through them, I was introduced to the Bambatas, the Herks, the Treacherous Three, you know, the running mates of the Cold Crush Brothers, the Funky 4+1, the Fearless Four, you know what I mean? Fantastic Five, Romantic Five, you know. It was through the Cold Crush I got to meet all the other pioneers. This tough voice, all the ladies can tell. The man on the mic,
what the hell? The hell, the hut, the bigger, the heart, the bigger. The Cold Crush Brothers, Treacherous Three, Funky 4+1, DJ Kool Herc und Afrika Bambaataa und die Zulu Nation. Sie sind die Gründungsväter von Hip-Hop. Wie mit Hip-Hop damals alles anfing, ist ein wichtiger Teil der Serie The Get Down, wie in dieser Szene.
We got the West, it's the land of DJ Kool Herc. Who's Kool Herc?
Yo, if you don't know who Kool Herc is, you need to ask somebody.
Well, I am asking somebody. Let's just say he has the biggest sound in the Bronx. Over here are his rivals, Bambaataa and the Zulus.
But
who's right here?
We are.
Yeah, well, right now, right here, and will always forever be the land, the kingdom of Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah, but what about our kingdom?
Ezekiel und seine Freunde wollen eine eigene Rap-Gruppe aufziehen, The Get Down Brothers, und damit die Welt erobern. Die Szene ist auf dem Rooftop eines verlassenen Hauses gefilmt. Einen Stockwerk tiefer haben sie einen Raum besetzt. An zwei Plattenspieler bringt ihnen dort DJ Grandmaster Flash die Geheimnisse des DJing bei.
Under the needle.
Wait, what is under the needle mean?
That means the beat is locked, loaded and ready to go. Now, that beat is fresh, right? But you're racing against the imminent wackness. So remember, it's all about math, Grasshopper. Two, three, four, tap. Under the needle. One, two, three, four.
Diese kleine Unterrichtsstunde in Sachen DJing basiert auf wahren Facts. DJs in der Bronx suchten nach dem Instrumentalteil auf einer Platte, den sie dann mit einer zweiten Platte, die auf einem weiteren Turntable lag, verlängerten. Durch das Hin- und Herwechseln wurde immer wieder die gleiche Stelle abgespielt und ein geloopter Beat entstand, zu dem die Breakdancer, besser gesagt B-Boys, tanzten. In der Serie wird dieser Teil The Get Down genannt. In Wirklichkeit gab es viele Begriffe, wie auch The Go-Off Part. Breaks heißen diese Instrumentalteile und das endlose Verlängern ist das Break-Mixing.
That is life and destiny. That is the Get Down beat. That is what the B-Boys get down to. Now, because he possesses two turntables, a DJ exists in two time zones, right? One turntable plays music that the dancers are partying to right now, and the other is playing music that they will be partying to in the imminent future. Now.
Die Rooftop-Szene endet damit, wie Ezekiel und seine Kumpels auf die vorbeifahrende U-Bahn herunterblicken. Den Waggon haben die Jungs von unten bis oben mit Graffiti eingesprüht.
That's our train. That's our train.
Die Bronx wirkt wie ein großer Playground mit besetzten Gebäuden und Rooftops. Meine Frage an Joe Conso: Spiegelt The Get Down wirklich das wider, was er als Teenager miterlebt hat?
The roof was our playground. We used to go from building to building to building, from roof to roof to roof. That's true. Some of it engrossed, some of it exaggerated. The gangs, that's real. I think it was a little exaggerated. The alcoholics, the drug abusers on the corner, that's real. The big fancy cars, you know, the prostitutes, that's true.
Hey,
hey,
hey, hey,
hey, get back, stop.
Und dann geht es natürlich um eine Gang in The Get Down, die Savage Warlord Gang, die ihren Namen auf dem Rücken ihrer selbstgemachten Kutten tragen. Genau so war das damals, sagt Joe Conso. Die Gegend in der South Bronx wurde geradezu von Gangs kontrolliert. Die Gebäude brannten übrigens deshalb, weil die Hausbesitzer sie heimlich selbst anzündeten. Der Versicherungsbetrug brachte ihnen Geld ein, in einer Zeit, in der die Bronx verarmte und zu Slums verkam.
That time the Bronx was going through a huge, huge devastation of urban decay. You know, the Bronx was written off by city politicians, state politicians, and even federal politicians at that time. You know, but the Bronx was our home. It was my home. You look back in hindsight and you see all the devastations, you know, the abandoned buildings, the burnt out cars, and this, that, and the other. It was still our home. We still made the best out of what we had.
Where there is ruins, there is treasure, heißt die erste Episode von The Get Down. Und dieser Schatz in den Ruinen wurde von Joe Conso und seinen Freunden entdeckt.
Hip-Hop gave hope and aspirations to a lot of kids in the Bronx. As DJs, as MCs, as B-boys, B-girls, in dancing, as graffiti artists. There's a handful of kids that made a decent living or became worldwide famous because of this culture. And photography gave me hope and aspirations.
Puls.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Die New York City Radio Show.
Die Netflix-Serie The Get Down spielt im Zeitraum, in dem Hip-Hop entsteht. Eines der größten Pop-Musik-historischen Momente in eine Fernsehserie zu packen, das ist ein mutiges Unterfangen. Regisseur Baz Luhrmann war super schlau und hat sich dafür viele wichtige Hip-Hop-Pioniere ins Boot geholt, um die Show möglichst authentisch umzusetzen. Sein Budget übrigens $120 Millionen dafür. Wie Grandmaster Flash, Kool Herc oder Fotograf Joe Conso, alle waren sie dabei. Trotzdem bekam die Sendung anfangs ziemlich viel Kritik ab. Die Erzählstruktur sei überladen und konfus und The Get Down gruft sich erst nach einigen Episoden ein. Trotzdem finden sich im Internet viele Fans. Wie sieht's aus mit Joe Consos Meinung? Er hat Baz Luhrmann beraten, war aber auch selbst damals dabei.
I know that it's a fictional piece based on some factual events. He pretty much kept it real. Was it over the top in some scenes? Of course it was. It had to be exaggerated. You have to entertain. I'll tell you this, and I might have said it before, somebody wrote a check for $120 million to write this series. They wrote that check to make a profit and make money. So you have to make it entertaining. You have to exaggerate things to get your money back in return.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
There were some very emotional scenes because, you know, I was a kid growing up at this time. And me being the oldest out of five kids, being raised by a single mother, I knew the hardship she went through and, you know, with some of the characters. So I enjoyed it. They could have done it in Hollywood. You know, they didn't have to hire the local B-boys and B-girls to do these scenes. They could have went to Hollywood and whatever. They didn't have to use me, you know, my images as references. They didn't have to use, you know, they didn't even have to use Grandmaster Flash, Joseph Sadler, as a producer. You know what I mean? They could have done it their way, however they wanted. You gotta give credit where credit is due.
Joe Conso ist 53 Jahre alt. An den Wochenenden ist er auch heute noch unterwegs mit seiner Kamera und seinem Markenzeichen, dem blauen New York Yankees Trikot, das seinem Namen auf dem Rücken trägt. Die New York Times nennt Conso den Chronisten, der Hip-Hops Babyfotos knipste. Und bei der Premiere von The Get Down hat der Regisseur Luhrmann für ihn ganz spezielle Dankesworte übrig. Für Joe schrieb er eine Rolle für Episode 1. Conso erinnert sich noch genau an die Dankesrede.
And Joe Conso, I want to thank you personally for allowing us to use your images and documenting and as references. And my way of saying thank you is look for this in the film. And I was like, you actually put me in the film? And it wasn't a big role, it wasn't a speaking role, but you know, you could see, you know, two or three classroom scenes in this school that he filmed in, in a school with the main characters and you see a kid in the background with a camera, with an afro, taking pictures. And you hear the teacher go, make sure you get some good shots there. And yes, teacher, I will. And that was his way of saying thank you. And that to me is phenomenal.
Joe Conso hat die Leute von damals geknipst und den Input in Sachen Style gegeben. Ein anderer war wirklich selbst Vorbild und gehörte zur ersten richtig erfolgreichen Rap-Gruppe, den Furious Five. Er hat den Get Down-Darstellern beigebracht, wie sie am Mic performen, und ich habe ihn jetzt gleich im Interview. Also bleibt dran, wenn es gleich weitergeht nach der Musik. Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car.
My name is Raheem, I'm formerly of the group Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Say my name is Raheem, I'm the son of a queen, I'm the king of my castle, don't give me no hassle. Young ladies in the place, put me on, when I'm a part of your life, you can never go wrong.
On the mic, Guy Todd Raheem Williams. Er gehört zur ersten Super-Rap-Gruppe, den Furious Five. Und wir sitzen hier im 14. Stock einer Hotellobby an der Lower East Side, mit fantastischem Blick auf eine mysteriös im Nebel schlummernde Manhattan-Skyline. Raheem wird jetzt für mich ein paar Hip-Hop-Geheimnisse auspacken. Das macht er auch für The Get Down. Er trainiert die Schauspieler und bringt ihnen bei, wie man genau so rappt wie zu seiner Zeit in den späten 70ern in der Bronx. How do you work with the actors on the set?
I write a lot of the performance lyrics for the Get Down brothers. After they let me know what the topic is or what that scene needs lyrically, I write the lyrics and then I teach the lyrics to the actors so that they can perform it convincingly, because everything is indicative of a period. You know, the period was from 77 to 79, so we had to be mindful of the time period.
So when you come in with this material, how much of like a music lesson is this?
Most of them already rap. What was a bit challenging was, you know, for them to learn that style of rap, because they had to go back to a time when the cadence of rap was more simple and easy to follow.
Cadences?
The rhythm. Yes, whatever lyrical rhythm that we use, you know, and the message, it was, you know, my son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk, he must think I'm a fool, right? All right, so another cadence would be, some biased cops persecute me for my irrevocable brand, fire shots searching through my hood, dispose of my fam, pull up next to me, say keep it moving, to hold up my am, don't shoot, can't breathe, so I shoulder my hands. That's two different cadences, you know what I mean?
Raheem ist Hip-Hop-Pionier. 1976 war das Gründungsjahr seiner Gruppe, den Furious Five, angeführt von DJ Grandmaster Flash. Sie waren die Vorlage für die fiktiven Get Down Brothers in der Netflix-Serie. Und die Outfits, das Auftreten und vor allem der Sound wurden zur Basis der neuen Fernsehserie The Get Down. So klingt Raheems Gruppe im Jahre 1980 mit ihrem Song Freedom.
Somebody, if you want to party, say party.
Party!
Say party!
Party!
Come on! Woo! Oh, yeah. If you want to party, is that a fact? Somebody say, and you know that!
And you know that!
Dieser Sound von Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five war Inspiration und Vorlage für die Schauspieler, die in The Get Down die sogenannten Get Down Brothers spielen. Hier hört ihr sie im Vergleich.
Yo, MC Books in the building slipped in cleverly, so deadly, plus the flows heavily. They wanna be the Get Down Brothers, but they can never be. My controller got taste, I can be steadily.
I'm MC Boom, the youngest of the crew, and when I run my rhyme for real.
Die Vorbilder für den Rap-Act in der Serie sind Grandmaster Flash and The Furious Five. Und einer dieser fünf ist Rapper Raheem, Über 30 Jahre später wurde er von den Machern der TV-Show angeheuert, um der fiktiven Rap-Gruppe, den Get Down Brothers, beizubringen, wie man glaubhaft im Oldschool-Stile rappt und welche Attitude die Schauspieler dabei haben müssen.
The attitude that they should have when they are performing this material is that they are superheroes. Because that's the attitude that Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five had whenever we stepped on stage. And that really explained the reason why we dressed the way that we did. We wanted to separate the way that we dressed from our audiences because we felt as though the audience couldn't really look at us like superheroes if we were dressed just like them. I conveyed that to the Get Down Brothers, but not necessarily with the style of their dress. It was more their attitudes.
Und so klingen die Get Down Brothers mit der richtigen Attitude in der Serie.
Heavily, they wanna be the Get Down Brothers, but they can never be. My controller got chased, I can be steadily.
I'm MC Boo, the youngest of the crew, and when I run my rhyme for real, said I walk through hell with my gasoline drawers on. Bronx MCs, I'm lethal, like poison.
I'm fly, dizzy D, all the ladies love me. The brothers know I'm now my law. So it started with a prayer. Flash said, next up, Rob, bless the floor.
I said they call me King Rock. Hit a fanfare when I enter the cipher. Fly girls follow me like I'm the Pied Piper. Pop a preparation for best piss for performance. It's like Get Down, but it's presentation for your enjoyment.
Challenge the DJ that we call the judge.
In the place,
we rock to the beat
with style and grace.
We got the moon
and the verbal gymnastics,
cause our DJ's name is
Shaolin Fantastic.
Die Get Down Brothers, dieses Stück hier, ist auf dem Soundtrack zu finden und ist der Höhepunkt in Episode 6. Wer es noch nicht gesehen hat, dem möchte ich nicht zu viel verraten. In einem Graffiti-besprühten Hinterhof kommt es zu dieser Performance zwischen den Get Down Brothers und Notorious Three. Hip-Hop ist in full effect. DJs, B-Boys und Graffiti, die Menge flippt aus. Es kommt zum Battle Showdown.
Get Down.
When I look at it, it immediately made me reflect to my childhood and made me feel as though I was watching myself. The performance scene of the Get Down Brothers, I helped to choreograph it. I wrote some of the lyrics. I've watched it well over 100 times. Each time it gives me goosebumps because it looks like a performance that Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five would have done. And in fact, some of the choreography is what Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five did. And I did that consciously and deliberately because, to a large degree, the Get Down Brothers is loosely based on the story of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Beim Interview komme ich mir fast vor, als würde ich einen Zeitzeugen interviewen. Schließlich sind die Ursprünge von Rap nun schon 40 Jahre her. Damals hat man Graffiti, MCing, DJing und Breaking noch nicht als die vier Elemente des Hip-Hop bezeichnet. Graffiti und Rap waren fast schon getrennte Welten, erzählt mir Rahim.
Graffiti has been going on long, long time before Hip-Hop. Since it's an urban subculture, they felt the need to put it together with the other facets of the hip-hop culture. Graffiti artists did attend the hip-hop jams, and many graffiti artists did help to create the flyers to help promote those hip-hop jams. But what you absolutely never seen at a hip-hop jam was a graffiti artist making a piece or tagging while a hip-hop jam was going on that didn't happen.
Niemand sprach in den Anfangsjahren von Hip-Hop. Die Medien sollen diesen Titel erfunden haben, heißt es immer wieder, angeblich abgeleitet von den MCs, die auf den Blockpartys Wortphrasen wie a-hip, a-hop, a-hibbity-hop rappten. Aber die Medien waren es nicht wirklich, erzählt mir Rahim, sondern ein Mitglied seiner Gruppe, der Furious Five.
The term hip-hop was coined by deceased member of the Furious Five, Cowboy. And the reason why he coined the term hip-hop, and it was unintentional. He wasn't naming the culture hip-hop when he coined the term. Actually, he was calling cadence like they do in the military, hip-hop, hip-hop, like soldiers marching, because he was paying tribute on the microphone to one of his friends who was going to the army. And that's how the term hip-hop derived.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Would you go into discussions with older folks?
Anyone, whoever.
Ganz ehrlich, es gibt verschiedene Geschichten, wie es damals zum Begriff Hip-Hop kam. Jetzt kennen wir auch die von Rap-Pionier Rahim. Sein ehemaliger Bandkollege Cowboy hatte damals bei einem seiner Blockparty-Auftritte den Begriff Hip-Hop ins Leben gerufen. Hip-Hop, Hip-Hop, dieser marschartige Rhythmus tauchte viele Jahre später bei Dead Press auf. Dead Press aus dem Jahre 2000 übrigens, damals produziert von einem Underground-Typen namens Kanye West. Die Roots von damals sind in vielen Hip-Hop-Songs auch heute zu hören. Und was mich immer fasziniert, Hip-Hop ist ein wildes Puzzlewerk aus Samples und Zitaten. Ein Genre, das zu fast 100% aus Selbstreferenzen besteht, das sich immer wieder auf die Anfangsmomente von Rap bezieht. Rahim gehörte zur Generation 1, er konnte sich auf keine Vorgänger beziehen. Doch das, was seine Generation schuf, ist heute die Essenz der Hip-Hop-Referenzen. Anspielungen auf die Sounds und Rhyme von Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five tauchen bis heute immer wieder auf.
Anytime you hear in any Notorious B.I.G. song where you hear Puff Daddy say, as we proceed,
as we proceed, proceed to give you what you need, as we proceed
to give you what you need. That came directly from us. That's what we used to say when Flash would be on the turntables. Shoutouts in general, like the reason why shoutouts came about was because at our parties back in the days, it would be all kinds of people, a very diverse crowd, stick up kids, drug dealers, murderers, whatever, everybody, you know, along with decent people, right? All of these people mixed together in the same room, but the guys who would come up to us to say, you know, yo, rock my name on the mic, would usually be the drug dealers because they would want us to shout them out and let everybody in the party know that they had the drugs, so we would have to rock their name. Or the gangsters, we would have to rock their crew. When you hear the word shout out, that came from us.
Gleich geht's weiter in der New York City Radio Show. Ich habe mich mit einem weiteren Hip-Hop-Pionier getroffen, Fable. Er ist Teil der Rocksteady Crew, eine Breakdance-Crew aus den späten 70ern und die gibt's auch heute noch.
It's the joint. We're gonna prove to the world that we're for real. We're gonna prove to everybody we know the real deal. We got golden voices and hearts of steel.
In der TV-Serie The Get Down gibt's viel über die Musikgeschichte zu lernen. Disco war 1977 der Sound, der die Clubs dominierte.
America's caught a red-hot fever for disco. And boy, is it lucrative. With $4 billion in sales, 77 is shaping up to be the record industry's most profitable year ever. So how is a disco hit made? With its lavish productions of strings and brass, most picture a band of musicians playing together in a studio. Not so with disco. Instead, the producer, composer, and arranger mix 24 individually recorded vocal and instrumental tracks to create the symphonic experience that dancers know and love.
Ein Ausschnitt aus The Get Down, Episode 6. Regisseur Baz Luhrmann erzählt, wie der Disco-Sound mit Multitracking produziert wird. In der gleichen Episode beschwert sich ein Clubbesitzer, dass die Hip-Hop-Kids mit ihrem Sound die tollen Disco-Platten verdrängen könnten. Hip-Hop wurde zur Gegenbewegung von Disco und die Jams fanden anfangs zu Hause oder in den Parks statt. Mein nächster Interviewpartner, Popmaster Fable, erinnert sich, dass er und seine Teenager-Freunde in den Disco-Clubs damals äußerst unerwünscht waren.
Hip-Hop was kind of like a response to the disco scene where you had to be a certain age, you had to dress a certain way to get in the clubs. Typically, they didn't want, like at the disco clubs, people to break or b-boy, you know, they would ridicule you or they would get humiliated by the disc jockey. Hey, we don't do that here, you know, if you want to clean the floors, go somewhere else. Or hip-Hop, in terms of the park jams and block parties, was almost like a rebellious move against, you know, this sort of very refined, older crowd kind of club thing. Except, of course, for certain hangouts and what they call juice bars, you can go and be accepted as you are with sneakers, have fun and express yourself.
And how did you get involved into dancing? And why do you think it was dancing to you that caught your attention?
Well, actually, all of it caught my attention all in one shot. It's such a dynamic culture, and each element of the culture is larger than life, you know? It's like, you know, when you look at stylized letters spray-painted on a train, on a subway train, with all these colors and flavor and rhythm, you can't help but to be, you know, hypnotized by it and drawn into that energy. And it was the very same with the explosiveness of the dancing. It was so explosive that it's near impossible not to be affected by it, you know, in a positive way.
You say one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
5-5 Freddy told me everybody slide. DJ is spinning, I said, my. Flash is back, flash is back, flash is fast. Flash is cool, Francois, c'est pas flash, ain't no dude.
Like, I was really more of a graffiti writer back then, so-called graffiti writer. Like, myself and Mr. Wiggles, Doze, a lot of us were really, we went to the same high school, the High School of Art and Design. And I think what eventually pushed me a little more towards dancing, although I still do art, the spirit of competition was heightened because you're confronting your opponent right there, face to face, versus writing graffiti where quite often you don't even see your adversaries. You know, they'll go to the yards, you go and try to burn them. Do a better piece, you know. With dancing, you get it over with fast. You battle, that's it. If you fight, you fight, and that's it, and it's over, you know. And the adrenaline rush is a lot greater. Again, because you're face to face, you're in the same space. I grew up with, you know, in very rough times. My mom struggled to raise us. The little we had, we wore proudly in terms of clothing or whatever we saved our money for when we worked. Winning a simple competition, you know, dancing, was like everything for us, you know. There wasn't really much money involved back then. It was more for ghetto celebrity status and neighborhood pride, you know. I might battle someone from another borough, and I'm from Spanish Harlem there, let's say from, you know, the Bronx or Brooklyn. And so for me, it would be like Manhattan is representing, you know. It meant everything, you know, to us.
Begriffe wie Breakdance haben für Popmaster Fable etwas Künstliches. Sie kommen eigentlich aus den Medien, über die nur Leute aus der Szene wie Popmaster Fable heute noch Bescheid wissen.
You know, some people say the go-off, the boing-oing around Bronx River, they call it the boing-oing. Floor rocking, you know, scrambling. There were so many names. Burning, you know, etc.
What's your favorite name?
I accept them all, so as long as it's not breakdancing. That's the one term I reject because we didn't create that. That's a media term. I like just rocking, you know, because it's sort of the umbrella term. If this culture wasn't called hip-hop, it would have been called rocking. Even though there was, like, rock music already, because that's the most common word we use in our vernacular to sort of express all these things we do, you know. Let's rock the microphone, you know, rock the dance floor, rock the turntables.
Rock the sneakers.
Rock the sneakers, exactly. The dress code, you know.
LB's rocking it, yes, he is rocking it. Tito rocking it, yes, he is rocking it.
Mike Sing
rocking it, yes, he is rocking it.
Peso
rocking it, yes, he is rocking it. We're all rocking it, you should be rocking it, rocking it.
Das ist die New York City Radio Show mit einem Hip-Hop-Special über die neue Netflix-Serie The Get Down. Am Mikrofon Matthias Röckel. Wenn ihr euch diese Serie anschaut, könnt ihr viel über die Entstehung von Hip-Hop in der Bronx erfahren. Was wir bereits gelernt haben, einige Locations sind genau dort, wo damals wirklich die Szene unterwegs war. Die Bronx sah damals wirklich so desolat aus, wie in der Serie, mit brennenden Häusern und heruntergekommenen Straßenzügen. The Get Down ist sehr authentisch, die Serie ist mit Hilfe der wichtigsten Hip-Hop-Pioniere entwickelt worden. Einige davon kann man noch heute in New York City antreffen, bei den Crotona Park Hip-Hop Champs. Die werden von Christy Pabone organisiert. Sie ist die Frau von Popmaster Fable, den wir gerade kennengelernt haben, und kommt eigentlich aus Pittsburgh. Ihre Liebe zum Oldschool-Hip-Hop hat sie nach New York City gebracht.
When you're in Pittsburgh or wherever else you're growing up, you don't get to see the first decade of Hip-Hop. And I think that like being here in New York and getting to meet the guys and the women and, you know, and see them perform sometimes if you're lucky, you know, that's everything. Like, that's just the dopest thing, you know, because we've already, you know, we saw a lot of videos and everything else and heard the music, but the stuff that was unrecorded sometimes is the coolest.
So you went straight for it and to meet the people and talk to them and tell us who are your friends.
What happened slowly over time, you know, like I moved here in the summer of 96. By the Zulu anniversary that year, I had met Fable, thank God. And then we were married like 9 months later. So then I started meeting, you know, other legends as well. I guess the ones that I ended up being closer to would be, you know, Jazzy J, Grand Wizard Theodore, Grandmaster Caz. Meeting and knowing Bambaataa and, you know, getting to be cool with him was, you know, we're not best friends or anything, you know. But, you know, like that's the main guy for me, like the one that whose albums I would buy and read the whole cover and learn about Zulu Nation on the back of the cover of like Renegades of Funk. You know, all that is like, you know, stuff I did.
Afrika Bambaataa, Grandmaster Caz oder Jazzy J. Sie alle tauchen in den Hip-Hop-Geschichtsbüchern auf und sind noch bis heute aktiv. Seit 2003 bringt Christy die Pioniere von damals wieder ins Scheinwerferlicht oder besser gesagt ins Sonnenlicht bei ihren Park-Jams in Harlem und in der Bronx. Bei den Jams sind alle wichtigen Rapper, Breaker und DJs anzutreffen. Die Atmosphäre hat etwas Familiäres. Dabei kann jeder kommen, auch Besucher aus aller Welt.
The things that I like most about the park jams are the people coming in together as community. So, you know, you'll see the original hip-hop audience from the Bronx, from anywhere from the 70s to the 80s, which Grand Wizard Theodore said it like this. He said, when I look out into the audience now, I see the people that used to come to the jams back in the day, but now they brought their kids. You know, so that's pretty cool. This is an older crowd that doesn't get mad if you scratch. Because that's not, you know, not everybody's older crowd will allow you to scratch, you know, like, but they appreciate it in the Bronx, especially. So I think that's like such an interesting thing, you know, because you just can't do that everywhere. Seeing people from all other countries come through, you know, some people plan their holidays, you know, they want to know like in January what my plans are for the summer so they could come to the U.S. at the right time. The B-boys and the B-girls that come out, all the dancers.
Is the sound system still like a very key thing to the DJs? I mean, it was all about that. It was like their main weapon. And now you have to book the sound system, I imagine.
Well, we actually have one of the original sound men from back in the days. You know, so we have the original sound man. And so, you know, he knows how it's supposed to look, how it's supposed to sound. And, you know, basically seeing, you know, some magic on the turntables. You know, when you see Grandmaster Caz rhyming and he takes songs and he inserts his own words in them. And it's such a skill that you really don't see very often. And so when he shows that, it's amazing. You know, Grandmaster Flash popping up out of nowhere, coming through. You know, different legends, you know, that you might have always, you know, looked forward to or admired.
You told me one thing. You said almost behind every legend is a woman that helps him schedule everything and supports him.
Whether it's voluntary or they're you know, a paid agent or manager or booking agent, whatever, there's usually a woman who's well organized that assists a legend. And it might be Cool Lady Blue, who books Bambaataa, or Grandmaster Flash's daughter, that books Flash.
Also, da kommen interessante Details ans Licht. Ohne diese Powerfrau Christy würden viele der Legenden von damals gar nicht mehr auftreten. Sie organisiert die Jams im Crotona Park in der Bronx und auch sonst haben viele der Pioniere eine starke Frau hinter sich, die heute ihre Karriere managt. Die Beats und Stücke von damals sind All-Time-Classics.
New York, New York, big city of dreams. And everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by law and I know my way around. Too much, too many people, too much. Too much, too many people, too much.
Pulse.
Oh my god.
Die New York City Radio Show.
Die wichtigen DJs hatten ihr eigenes Soundsystem, wie Afrika Bambaataa in der South Bronx, Grandmaster Flash und Kool Herc im Norden. Letzterer ist laut Popgeschichte für die Geburtsstunde des Hip-Hop verantwortlich, als Kool Herc am 11. August 1973 in einem Gemeinschaftsraum eines großen Wohnblocks die erste Hip-Hop-Party stattfinden lässt. Eine Compilation namens Roots, the Classic Samples that Built Hip-Hop, beschäftigt sich ganz intensiv mit den musikalischen Einflüssen genau aus diesem Zeitraum. Es gab keine Platten damals für DJs, die nur mit Beats und Instrumentals bestückt waren. Diese Cuts brauchten die DJs aber und suchten deshalb auf anderen Platten nach markanten Drumbreaks und Beats. Oft waren es nur vier Takte, wie ein Schlagzeugbeat oder das Intro aus einem Jackson 5 Song. Oft bedienten sich die DJs auch von sehr obskuren Platten. Tom Silverman, der später die ersten Hip-Hop-Scheiben mit Afrika Bambaata rausbrachte, kennt die Originalstücke, aus denen die DJs oft nur ein paar magische Takte anspielten.
And that's what was really exciting about hip-hop. Nobody had ever heard that before. These guys were taking rock records and mixing them with funk records and jazz records and reggae records sometimes and soca records, and it didn't matter, whatever it was, African records. If it had a beat, they could put it together in a way. And then they would find beats and songs that you didn't even realize had beats, but you had to look really carefully, like the Monkees.
Mary, Mary, where are you going to?
You know, what really blew me away is when I heard him do it with Kraftwerk. You know, to take Kraftwerk and then make something that was so not black into something so black and funky. You know, that was sort of what put it over the top. And it inspired me to go on and do Planet Rock with Afrika Bambaata. And that was such an influential song. But it all goes back to the different songs that Bambaata, Grandmaster Flash, and Kool Herc were playing before hip-hop really even began.
Genau diese Beats und Stücke, von denen Tom Silverman spricht, tauchen in der Netflix-Serie The Get Down auf, wie die Drumbeats der Rockplatte von Billy Squire, Big Pete. Stücke wie diese sind die Zutaten, aus denen heute noch Hip-Hop-Beats gesampelt werden. Ihr hört die New York City Radio Show, die Rap-Legenden, die Hip-Hop-Pioniere, sie kommen heute zu Wort in meinem Reality-Check zur Serie The Get Down. Was die Hip-Hop-Heads von damals gesagt haben, das haben wir schon gehört. Doch was sagt die Szene von heute? Darüber habe ich mit Musikblogger Devon Holiday geredet. Er ist Anfang 20 und sein Herz schlägt für Hip-Hop. Meine Frage, wie hat dir The Get Down gefallen?
I really enjoyed watching the first set of The Get Down, the first six episodes. I thought it was a great depiction of, you know, the start of hip-hop. It showed the political battles that African-Americans and Latinos were going through in the Bronx, and the reason why they came forth and made hip-hop. It showed that it came from disco music, and it showed that it was focused around DJs at the beginning, which I think are all accurate things.
Devon ist begeistert. The Get Down zeigt authentisch die Anfänge von Hip-Hop und das politische Zeitgeschehen in der desolaten Bronx der 70er Jahre. Und auch ich finde The Get Down gelungen. Die Geschichte zieht einen richtig rein. Und selbst wenn man schon einiges über Hip-Hop weiß und die wichtigsten Dokus gesehen hat, bekommt man die Chance, das Ganze mal richtig selbst mitzuerleben. Manchmal trägt Baz Luhrmann ein wenig zu dicke auf und es gibt auch mal kitschige Momente, wenn das Ganze in eine neue Mischung aus West Side Story und Romeo und Juliet in der Bronx umschlägt. Viel wichtiger ist aber, bleibt etwas von The Get Down? Ist diese Serie mehr als ein Hip-Hop-Märchen-Spektakel, als eine Retro-Serie, die einen vor der Couch mitreißt? Ich wollte von Devon wissen, welchen Einfluss The Get Down auf die Szene und Fans heutzutage haben kann.
Video Streaming, stuff like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, like these things are huge networks. I think that this is the first time that a lot of people are like getting this side of what hip hop is, the story of like the actual foundations of hip hop. And so it's definitely affecting people because they're able to connect more with it, especially like millennials who are, don't have a bunch of money and are trying to like make it their own, like they can see why they even like hip hop. Everyone loves it now. Like hip hop's like the biggest culture in the world, like from graffiti to fashion and definitely the music. People can now see the roots of it and they can feel more connected, have more knowledge about it. So.
And also how it basically gave people like something to do, something to like be creative in. Yeah. And become something.
They showed in the Get Down, you know, politicians and the people that were running New York City, they literally were paying these gang members to burn down places so that they can collect insurance checks. And there was just like no regard for the people that were living there. And they were living amongst like rubble and like ashes of stuff. And, you know, so like hip hop literally came out of like the ashes of burning buildings in the Bronx. Like, so that it's amazing. And it, that's like what hip hop is to take what you have and make the best out of it.
Seit ich in New York lebe, habe ich mich immer wieder mit Hip-Hop-Pionieren beschäftigt. Und wenige von ihnen haben wirklich großes Geld verdient. Das waren eher die vielen Generationen nach ihnen. Angefangen mit Run-DMC, Public Enemy und den Beastie Boys. Mit der Netflix-Serie sind die Gründungsväter 40 Jahre später für ihre Pionierarbeit belohnt worden. Auch finanziell. Baz Luhrmann gibt mit seiner Serie etwas zurück. Wie auch an Fotograf Joe Conso, der heute 53 Jahre alt ist und sagt, dass er noch nie so viel Geld mit seinen Bildern verdient hat wie mit The Get Down. Joe arbeitet seit Jahren als Sanitäter bei der New Yorker Feuerwehr. Denn Hip-Hop wird nicht die Rente zahlen, hat er mir erzählt. Doch mit seinen Bildern reist er immer wieder mal nach Europa und stellt in Galerien und Museen aus, wie kürzlich in Amsterdam. Hip-Hop ist also längst in der etablierten Kulturszene angekommen. Vielleicht habt ihr ja Lust bekommen, The Get Down zu sehen und vielleicht seht ihr es jetzt auch mit anderen Augen. Wenn euch Hip-Hop gefällt, ist die Show sowieso Pflicht. Das meint Joe Conso.
If you're truly into the culture of Hip-Hop, you would know the foundation. You would know Bam's teaching. Hip-Hop to me is a way of living, it's a culture. It's not only just rap music or graffiti or MCing, DJing or b-boying. It's the way of living. It's the way you treat people. I think this world would be better off if they subscribe to some of the things we subscribe to in the culture of hip hop. You know, love, peace, and happiness, and having a good time. You can definitely come every summer and throughout the year and see Red Alert spin. For, you know, 1,000 people for free. For free. Unheard of. Jay-Z is not doing any free concerts that I know of. It's still alive and kicking.
Kommt vorbei und schaut euch die Legenden in New York City an, sagt Joe Conso. It's still alive and kicking. Das war die New York City Radio Show mit dem Reality-Check zur Netflix-Fernsehserie The Get Down. Shoutouts gehen raus an Beverly Bryan, die in New York an der Recherche mitgearbeitet hat. Und meine beiden Redakteurinnen in München, Theresa Fries und Tina Metallinos. Euer Host in Brooklyn sagt jetzt Servus, Matthias Röckel ist raus. Peace. Puls.